From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we're pleased to welcome in Nicole Zamora, the public outreach director. What's your title, Nicole?
It's Catholic. Director of Community Outreach.
Community Outreach. I knew that's what it was. Yes. For our great Catholic funeral and cemetery services, you are one of these people that gets around this diocese.
I do, and I love it.
I bet.
We have a beautiful diocese. I think our faith shows nice and strong throughout all of these parishes, and I couldn't be more excited to be doing the Lord's work with our ministry and being able to share it with everyone.
Yeah, we have some big, beautiful churches. We have a beautiful cathedral, and then we have just some charming, much smaller churches in some very small towns.
We do, yes, right? And then we have we have our cemeteries that are scattered throughout all of, you know, our diocese, and they're such a great place to go visit and remember our loved ones. You know, November will be here soon enough, right? And I know that's one of our favorite events to be on the show to talk about, but
yes.
there's some things happening before then, Bob.
November, of course, All Saints Day on the 1st and All Souls Day on the 2nd of November.
Yes,
so tell us about, you have some open house weekends coming up the first weekend of October.
Yeah, so back in 2019, remember, way back then.
Way back.
We decided to hold our first ever open house at a few of our locations. And so we're doing that. We did that in the middle of COVID last year, very safe, by appointment only last year in 2020. So this year in 2021, we're going to go ahead and do that open house weekend again. And so the weekend is October 2nd and 3rd. And our locations are Calvary Cemetery and Funeral Center there in Citrus Heights, St. Mary's Cemetery and Funeral Center, in Sacramento, right off 65th and Fruit Ridge.
Right.
And then St. Joseph's Cemetery on October 2nd in Woodland.
Yes.
And Holy Cross Cemetery on Sunday, October 3rd in Colusa.
Yeah.
And then I don't want to forget our good buddies at All Souls in Vallejo. So they will be having it on October 2nd and 3rd as well, too. So we are very, very excited about all this, and we look forward to, to being there and opening our cemeteries and our funeral centers. And so we're very excited to...
Now, all of them except for St. Joseph in Woodland and Holy Cross in Colusa will be both days, is that correct? 10 a.m. to 4 p.m.?
Yeah, all the other locations are both days. Colusa and Woodland are just on one single day, but still 10 to 4.
Right, so St. Joseph in Woodland will be October 2nd, which is a Saturday, and Holy Cross in Colusa will be October 3rd, which is a Sunday.
So your listeners must be thinking, like, why would we ever want to go to this? What does that mean, an open house? Can I visit a cemetery, like, whenever I want? Well, of course you can. But on this open house weekend, we kind of lay out the red carpet. We are here to share with folks what we do, how we are here. You know, we're called under our ministry for the corporal works of mercy to bury the dead. So many people don't realize that we can handle all those funeral services, right? And when I say funeral services, folks are like, oh, you mean like at the church? Well, yes, we can do that. We can work in conjunction with the parishes. But really where we stand apart is we are a funeral home, right? So we're that mortuary. We call ourselves a funeral center because we're a little bit bigger. We truly are here to take care of Catholics at their end of life. So that, their families can get that much needed ritual in the Catholic funeral rites.
Yes, absolutely. Explain, I'm sure you hear from people saying, well, what difference does it make? You know?
Yeah.
It makes a big difference.
Right? Who cares, right?
Right.
What does it matter? I'll be gone anyways.
Right.
I'll be making my journey to heaven. Let's picture this, Bob. Let's picture that you've decided you want to run a marathon, right? We all know how hard those are. I have not ran one, but I see other people.
Yeah, I usually stop and offer them a ride.
Right? Yes. But we all know that in a marathon, it's not like it's just a quick thing. You plan for it. Your family's involved in it. Your loved ones are involved with it, right? So, months down the road, it's that time, it's that weekend to go run that marathon. And you get there and you run the marathon and you place first place. But you quietly sneak out and you don't allow your family members to cheer you on or, kind of congratulate themselves to you for helping you along that journey. They were there with you. They woke up at 5:30 to help you train, right? It's the same thing, in kind of a simplified way that we're doing to our family members when we don't allow them to have the closure that they need in these vigils and funeral mass, right? That is our marathon. That is, they're sending us forth. Now, spiritually, we would have had to have done that work ourselves, right? But again, we utilize our families and our friends and our pastors and our church community to really build us up. So at the end of our lives, we should allow them to be there and say goodbye. So why does it matter? It matters, Bob, because every single listener that, is hearing this matters. Every single one, right? They lived a beautiful life. They are living a beautiful life. And their family should be able to grieve for them and give them that good goodbye.
Yes, that's very well put, Nicole. You're in the right job.
Yes, it is. We know it is not the easiest subject to bring up,
sure.
Right? If anyone listens to this and the next day they're like, tomorrow at dinner, to sit down and tell everyone, I heard Nicole Zamora on the Bishop's Hour, and it's time for us to start talking about funerals and cemetery. Their families might be like, okay, please tell us more. Are you sick? What's going on? We prepare for so many other things in life. We prepare, right? We prepare as we're going to have children and what do their baptisms, what are they going to, what is this baptism going to be like? What is the birth going to be like? We prepare throughout lives. We help them with schools. We prepare for our retirement. But then we get to this end of life and we're all like, nope, someone else will take care of it. Well, wouldn't it be amazing if we took care of it and we gave our families this gift? We relieve them from that financial burden as well as, the burden of just, I don't know. I don't know what mom would want, right? I don't know if she wants to be cremated. I don't know if she wants, a casketed funeral. I don't know. So then you're just stuck there.
Yep. So yeah. What will happen at the open houses?
Well, at the open house, we have, we invite everybody in. We are asking people to make an appointment if they can, so that we can dedicate that time for them. Now, we will be taking walk-ins as well, too, but the appointments kind of guarantee you that time. Appointments start at 10, with the last appointment going at 3, because then we're done at 4. So when you arrive, you'll be greeted and checked in. We give you a wonderful giddy bag as a thank you for coming out and getting to know us and see us. One of our family service advisors will take you on a tour. Maybe you've always wanted to kind of see, what does it mean, different cemetery lawns? What does it mean, cremation, and can we still be buried? So they will show you all these different lawns and crypts and niches. And then we will then go over a personal planning guide with you, which, again, is a gift to you, right, to be there and go through all of these, kind of end-of-life decisions, again, that you're making. And after that, then it's really up to the listener, right? It's really up to our guest that day at the open house weekend? Do they, you know, do they want to learn more? Do they want to get into, you know what, I'm ready. I've been thinking about this. I've come to see you in the past, and I am just ready. I know you showed me, you know, what cemetery looks like. You've helped me to understand that funeral is, you know, another step that I must take, and I can pre-plan that. So we can go, you know, into that deep where, you know, folks are ending up, you know, kind of purchasing and walking away with their cemetery and funeral plans. Or, again, it could be that first time that you've made it out there to begin this conversation.
Very good. And just any time, well, you would prefer that they have an appointment, but walk-ins are welcome. Some people maybe will decide last moment. And so, like, Holy Cross in Colusa, does that serve a wide area or just generally that parish?
I think it's
Our Lady of Lourdes, is that right?
Yeah, Lady of Lourdes. So we can, of course, serve the whole of, you know, the city, and I think it's the county of Colusa.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my goodness, I should have studied my geography.
No, that's right. It's the Colusa County, that's right.
It is Colusa County. Right?
Although it's weird because some of the counties, you know, the city in that county has the same name, but it's in a different county, you know?
Yes. We can, you know, we are here to serve Catholics. We are here to take care of those Catholics and lay them to rest. So, you know, it is a tiny cemetery, but it's a beautiful cemetery right in the middle of town there in Colusa. You know, Father Matt from the parish out there goes and visits us out there. If we ask him to come to special events, he does. So it's a very small town community cemetery, and on top of that, it's your local Catholic cemetery, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we actually have a tiny little office out there on the cemetery grounds, and we really love when people come by and visit their loved ones, as well as stop by and ask us questions. So we will be out there that Sunday, October the 3rd. Maybe head over to Mass first, and come on over to the cemetery right after.
Very good. Very good. It's not the reason you're having this, but what a beautiful ride it is from the Sacramento area up to Colusa.
It is, yes. Rice
especially
is
this
good.
Time of the year, right? During
it
the rice
is,
harvest
yes.
and all that. Yeah.
All of that, yes. So your listeners must be like, well, Nicole, this sounds great. How do I get to go? So I urge everyone to visit our website. You can learn more there. You can register for your private tour. You can ask me more questions. And that website is cfcsacramento.org. And so, again, that's CFCS, like Catholic Funeral Cemetery Services, sacramento.org. And you'll see our open house information right there under events. If anyone has questions and it's easier for them to just call me directly at 916-840-2138.
And again, October 2nd is St. Joseph in Woodland, October 3rd, Holy Cross in Colusa, October 2nd and 3rd at All Souls in Vallejo, 550 Glen Cove Road in Vallejo, also at St. Mary's at 6509 Fruit Ridge in Sacramento, and at Calvary Cemetery and Funeral Center, 7101 Verner Avenue in Citrus Heights. All of those are October 2nd and 3rd, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Nicole, what's the hardest part of your job?
The hardest part of my job is when, you know, folks come up to us and they say, I wish I would have known about this ahead of time. I wish I would have known that I could have asked Mom, I could have asked Grandpa what he would have wanted rather than fighting with my siblings.
Literally fighting with your siblings.
Or trying to protect, you know, Mom as she's making all these decisions about Dad. You know, this pandemic, Bob, has thrown us all a wrench, right?
Yeah.
And to sit there and see how many people didn't have the opportunity to plan because, right, it just happened and their loved one passed away. It really reassured in us that pre-planning it helps families, right? It might seem so distant, it might seem so far away, and we hope that it is, right? We hope that we all live these beautiful, long, wonderful lives, but planning for it, talking about it, getting together and praying about it is mm-hmm. what really, you know, will bring that family together, and then they'll be able to grieve together.
You're right. Most of us want to just kind of avoid the topic.
Yep. Yes. It's way easier to just be like, why does it matter? I'll be gone. Well, you know, from experience, Bob, I know why it matters. My mom pre-planned everything before I even knew what Catholic funeral and cemetery services was, right? Or that one day I would be director of community outreach. She had pre-planned everything. And, you know, the good Lord called her home early. She was all of 63 years
young. Oh, my
young.
Goodness. Yeah.
And, but she had everything. So my brother and I were like, What do you mean? Like, she planned all this? This is great. You know, we were able then to be there for each other. We were able to be there for our loved ones. We were able to come together and know that what she wanted, her wishes, you know, to be buried in a Catholic cemetery, to have those Catholic rites, to have a vigil, to have a funeral mass, and then to have a beautiful committal. You know, Mom's at Calvary, and so getting to visit her is a, you know, it's a bonus. I get to spend time with her. I do joke, right? Like, Mom, you really didn't have to go through all this for me to learn what I, you know, what mm-hmm. I talk about. But, again, it's in the Lord's hands and in his timing, right? And he knows why. But, you know, take it from someone that's lived it. Having that plan in place really matters.
So, Nicole, when you go around to various parishes, what are the questions people ask? What do they want to know? What are some of the misconceptions?
They want to know about cremation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember growing up, and that was, you didn't do that.
Yeah, for sure. They want to know about cremation, right? They want to know, that, and we always get those as a whisper. I'm going to be cremated. You guys can't help me, right? And we're like, we can help you. We most definitely can. So since 1963, cremation has been accepted by the church. We have a crematory on site there at St. Mary's. You're always in the care of Catholics. And again, we're going to tell those folks looking at cremation as an option that you still need to be buried, right? Those cremated remains needs to be, you could be in a urn in a niche or, you know, other options above ground or in ground and, you know, not scattered, not on someone's mantle, but laid to rest on consecrated ground.
Mm-hmm. Are there a lot of misconceptions beyond cremation?
There are all over the place, right? People think, you know, different things. They don't know. They're not sure what it is. They're like, well, I need a rosary. And you're like, well, a rosary can be said, and that is done at a vigil, right? Mm-hmm. Or right. They're like, I would like to give four eulogies at the funeral mass. And you're mm-hmm. like, no, a funeral mass is based in liturgy, right? So that is not where eulogies are done, but we're not saying you can't do eulogies. Again, that's where that vigil, that's where that, you know, time the night before is set for you to be able to have that time and have your loved ones, you know, give a beautiful eulogy.
Or sometimes I've seen it definitely at funeral. I mean, at the rosary the night before, but sometimes I'll see it at what they'll call a memorial service after the funeral mass. Like in the parish hall or something where there's food and people will, it won't really be a eulogy as much as it just a warm remembrance kind of thing with an open mic maybe.
Yeah. And, you know, we hear a lot of people say like, oh, well, I can't have a party and I can't have a celebration of life and do this. And you're like, well, that's not true, right?
No.
Honor your loved one. Honor them in all the ways that they have talked about and you have talked about together.
Yeah, it's not an either or.
No, right? Bringing your church community together definitely will help you, will help your loved one as they make their journey, you know, hopefully home to heaven. But, you know, kind of having that all together. If we just, you know, kind of skip the ritual parts of it and go just to a party, are we giving our hearts and ourselves enough time to heal? Right? Let's invite Jesus into our heart. Let's invite him in to sit with us and pray. And again, pray for the soul of our loved one that has just left us.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Well, Nicole, I'm glad you're doing it, not me.
Oh, Bob, we're all called to different ministries, right? I get
indeed.
The pleasure of speaking to you, and you get to host so many, you know, wonderful people on this radio show. I'm just so very happy that I get the opportunity to share with all your listeners our ministry, and I invite them out to the open house. It really is a no-pressure time to come out, learn, educate yourself about, you know, who we are, what we do, you know, and, hey, you'll get a pretty cool goodie bag, too. So,
oh, good.
yeah, so just, you know, go on over to our website, again, cscsacramento.org. Go under events, and we have a lot of, you know, information there. Again, you can make that appointment to reserve your private tour, or you could just stop on by on the weekend of October 2nd and 3rd.
Very good. Well, Nicole, always a joy to talk with you, and I look forward to the next time you can come in person even. Who knows?
Yes, that will be fun. It's been so long. I mean, I don't even know. Right now, I just know what people's eyes look like.
That's right.
You know, with masks. So, yes.
That's right.
But I look forward to it.
I look forward to it, too. Nicole, thanks for all you do, and God bless you and your ministry and your family.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Bob.
Thanks, Nicole. Take care. That's Nicole Zamora, who is the Community Outreach Director for Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services. Again, open house October 2nd, St. Joseph's in Woodland from 10 to 4. October 3rd, Holy Cross in Colusa from 10 to 4. On the 2nd and 3rd, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., 2 days at All Souls in Vallejo. At St. Mary's on Fruitwood Road, 6509 Fruitwood Road here in Sacramento, Calvary at 7101 Verner Avenue in Citrus Heights, and again All Souls in Cemetery and Funeral Center, All Souls in Vallejo is at 550 Glen Cove Road in Vallejo. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
Hi, this is Brian Visitation, Director of Media and Communications for the Diocese of Sacramento. You're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for all the great work you do here and great important work you do here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Well, we're pleased to welcome in John Cantola, who is chair of the Catholic Committee on Scouting here in the Diocese of Sacramento. John, good day.
Hey there, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for taking the time to be with us. Tell us, what is the Catholic Committee on Scouting that isn't implied by the title?
Well, yeah, probably one of the less known committees that exist in the diocese. We are a group of volunteers, lay people, and priests who see scouting as youth ministry and mm-hmm. work to provide good program for the 1,000 or so scouts, Catholic scouts that exist in our Golden Empire Council of the Boy Scouts of America.
So Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Scouts, those names have kind of gotten all mixed up in the last few years. Explain what's going on.
Yeah. So Boy Scouts of America has a long history with the Catholic Church that goes all the way back to 1912.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you say Boy Scouts, I think everybody thinks about the kids running around and, you know, Cub Scouts in blue shirts or Boy Scouts in tan shirts.
And frequently in the parish hall.
Yeah, exactly. We hope there's a lot of those out there. In recent years, the Boy Scouts of America has evolved to the point where we've invited young women to join scouting.
Mm-hmm.
So now the official title is Scouts BSA. We have Cub Scouts, which is basically elementary school. We have Boy Scouts, or Scouts BSA, which is co-ed. Uh-huh. Actually, I'm sorry, Cub Scouts are co-ed as well.
Right.
So Boy Scouts, or Scouts BSA, is middle school, high school age.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a venturing program that is through age 21, also co-ed.
Mm-hmm.
Contrast that against Girl Scouts USA. Little consternation when the girls were invited to join Boy Scouts, but it seems like that's settled down now.
Mm-hmm.
Two very different programs. You know, Scouts BSA focuses largely on outdoor adventure, you know, things that you associate with Boy Scouts for the life of scouting.
Right.
Girl Scouts USA is a little bit different, but we support the Religious Emblem Award programs for both programs.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of other youth programs that people may not know about are American Heritage Girls and Trail Life. Those are two organizations that are really focused and affiliated with religious organizations.
Mm-hmm. You know, a variety more of so religious organizations, not just Catholic.
Right, yes, correct. It's right. Not just Catholic Church. It's pretty broad.
Right.
And within the diocese, I'm happy to say that we have 16 parishes that are, you know, what we call charter partners. They charter scouting units, either Cub Scouts or Boy Scout troops. Would love that to be a bigger number, of course. That's one of the things that we do on the committee is advocate for the use of scouting programs within parish youth ministry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a statement from the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops that says that scouting is a hidden treasure. And we have lots of resources available on the scouting side to build up parish ministry scout camps and insurance and things like that. Lots of training. You don't have to go it alone when you want to start a para scout unit. And one of the things that we're, the one of the next activities that's coming up is the Adultari Day retreat. Now, Adultari Day is a religious award that started in 1926. Adultari Day, to the altar of God, mm-hmm. for high school youth, 13 to 17. And we're, the program focuses on the seven sacraments and really tries to help scouts in that age range develop a Christian life that ties together what they learn in scouting and the life of the Catholic Church. And I'm happy to say that Bishop is a huge supporter of scouting, and he will be helping us with Mass on Sunday of that retreat. That's October 22nd through the 24th.
And where will it be?
This year. That's up at the Trinity Pines.
Oh, Trinity Pines in Colfax?
Center. Yeah. Wow. Yep.
Great spot for it.
Great spot. We've been there, I think this will be our fourth or fifth year. You can't ask for a better setting to, feel the hand of God in nature, in the pine trees, fresh air. Even with the smoke, I think we're probably beyond the fires about that time. And
well, let's hope so.
We're just looking we're hoping for a great event.
And a beautiful time of year to be up in the Colfax area.
Yeah, absolutely. I think our typical attendance has been around 25 scouts. We're hoping for that again this year. Registration is a little bit low, so everybody that's listening and you're a scouting family and you don't have your Adultari Day award yet, now's the time to do it. The place to go to register and learn more is the diocesan website, scb.org/scouting.
Tell us a little bit about the program, the three-day program there.
So the three-day program in the award, like I said, seven sacraments grouped together by the sacraments of initiation, the sacraments of service, and the sacraments of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have three guest speakers who will be on site on Saturday. We've got Father Chris Frazier, who's our chaplain,
mm-hmm.
Deacon Kevin Staskow from the youth ministry program at the diocese.
He'll do a bang up job for you.
Yeah, for sure. And Father Memo Hernandez, the director of vocation.
Another great
talk
one.
About
you got three winners lined up.
We do. Yeah, and they proved themselves last year. We did this program by Zoom, which was a bit of a struggle. It's not quite the same as being on site, up at Trinity. But man, those presenters are fantastic. Really good at getting the kids excited and enthusiastic about their faith. And we have fun. It's not plop the kids down and hit them with presentations and PowerPoints. We love scouting. Scouting is songs and skits and games and having fun. So it's going to be a good time.
Are there actually any fish in that pond?
I have to tell you that my own troop from St. Joseph Morello, we have hit that pond pretty hard. And the kids, I think every one of them catches fish.
Oh, good.
The fishing merit badges is one of the hardest to earn because they actually have to catch a fish.
Right.
And it's kind of a gimme, it's a slam dunk pond. There's so many crappie in that pond. It's a blast.
Oh, that's great.
So I think we'll try to work the pond into the retreat somehow this year.
Yeah.
I'm picturing floating candles and
reflection
on baptism.
So do you use the dormitory or do you camp out?
No, we use the dormitory.
Uh-huh.
We'll allowances for that and keep the kids separated. But that's such a great facility.
It really is, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, we're really lucky to have it. So.
We're looking forward to the new kitchen coming at some point. We've got a couple of great chefs that are cooking for us over the weekend, and you know kids like to eat. I think that's the 14th or 15th point of the Scout Law is the kids like to eat. They're always hungry.
So John, how do people know how to sign up?
So go to the website, scb.org/scouting.
Right.
And that'll get them to our Catholic Committee on Scouting page. Then look for the religious awards. That's the first menu item on the page. And then once they're on the religious awards section, there's another tab called Upcoming Retreats.
Very good.
That'll tell them everything they need to know.
Very good. Well, it sounds like a great event, and we'll endeavor to get a couple of those speakers on the program to talk about it ahead of time, because you've lined up a triple header for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, this is just one of about a dozen different activities we have throughout the year for the Scouts. We're always looking for volunteers to help make everything on our list happen. I love the opportunity to come on and talk to you some more about other things that we're doing as they come up.
Absolutely. Is there anything you want to mention now that I didn't ask you about?
No, I think the maybe the next pitch that I would make is in terms of looking for leadership. You know, we have, like I said, about 1,000 scouts in 16 parishes. That's includes quite a variety of PACs and troops and venture crews. On October 5th, we're having a discernment for leaders to join the committee. We just want to have the best possible program for our Catholic Scouts, and we need people to make that happen.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Well, a pleasure to talk with you, and maybe one day we'll get to do this in person, John.
Yeah, I look forward to it, Bob. That would be great.
Good. Well, thanks so much for your time, and God bless you and all the Scouts and your family, and we'll look forward to our paths crossing one day soon.
All right. I will look forward to that. Thank you.
Thanks, John. God bless. That's John Cantola, who is the chair of the Catholic Committee on Scouting. Again, their event will take place October 22nd through the 24th, a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the beautiful Trinity Pines Catholic Center up in Colfax, and it should be a great event up there. Gabe, he said that pond is at the Trinity Pines Catholic Center and is loaded with fish.
Yeah, I found that out the hard way.
Well, you told me you went up there with your son, and I don't know. Did you strike out?
We got skunked. But then as we're leaving, well, here's the thing.
It's a Catholic fish and Catholic. I mean, they go hand in hand, man. Come on.
Okay.
I mean, you see the fish, the Christian fish.
Okay, you're
bumpers.
Making me feel bad about my ability as a fisherman in front of my child.
Fisher of men.
Oh, so here, so. It was like one of those scenes out of a movie. Like, so we get there, there's this big giant cat, looked exactly like the cat we have at home, greeted us, followed us everywhere we went. It was really cool. We fished for a couple hours and nothing. So I'll get to that. So my wife had even said, she's like, are there fish in here? I was like, yeah, Jennifer told me there's fish in there. Well, as we're leaving, it's winter time. The caretaker says, how'd it go? And I was like, we didn't catch anything. He goes, yeah, it didn't surprise me. I was like, why is that? He goes, they never bite in the winter.
No.
They only bite when it's hot. So I was like, well,
what do they eat all winter?
That would have been, I don't know, maybe bottom feed or something. I don't know. I was like, that would have been information that I would have loved to have known before I drove up here and spent
exactly
hours doing
but it was
nothing.
A great event. Right?
We met a cat. It was great.
Yeah.
You know. But yeah, it was interesting. I was just like, okay, cool. I got to come back in the summer. And actually, we were talking to Jennifer earlier this week, and I thought, I got to talk to her about going back up there before it gets too cold again, because I've got to redeem myself, because I've been fishing my whole life, and I'm not the best fisherman in the world. I don't know how to fly cast and all that kind of stuff, but I mean, I do lots of, you know, lake fishing, and I've done a lot of it. I've caught a lot of fish, and I felt...
I'm a good fly caster. I can get it way up in the tree.
My friend actually is telling me yesterday, his son has this, it's a magnetic fishing dragging a thing, and what it does is he basically takes it out to the little pond by their house, and he puts it on the ground, and he pulls up, and he ends up pulling up lots of lures. It's like a big giant magnet that he just casts out. You see, he pulls up a bunch of lures and hooks and stuff like that, which is great because, you know, it'll clean them out of the pond for the fish that are in there. But it's just kind of funny to think about how many people probably lose stuff in the lake, like on a daily basis. Yeah,
regularly.
Yeah,
yeah. That was growing up. We fished a lot as kids, and it always snag on a log or something. That
yeah,
was
of course.
Water and think you had just caught a sturgeon or something. You know,
you're like, I got a big one. Yeah, the worst is when I have there's a pond I go to in Loomis, and it's got a lot of turtles. And you know, they're cute, they're turtles, whatever. Little heads pop out of the water, look like little submarines.
Do they go for the bait?
Okay, that's the thing. So I'll put a bobber on there and it'll bob. I'm like, okay, here we go, something. And then you kind of go to set the hook, and then this little head pops up out of the water, and you're like, oh, it's a turtle. So yeah, so it becomes real pain to try to fish. So I mean, you still catch stuff there, but like, you gotta really, like, the bobber's under, it's like, eh, give it a second. Let's see if it really is.
There's something about little kids and fishing.
I know.
It's just so attractive. Well, I mean,
my boy loves
it.
You
go to a little carnival, you know, they have the fishing game, you know.
Yeah,
it's just there. I mean, I can still feel in my arm that tug.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where it really was a fish.
Oh, yeah. I remember in high school, I used to go fishing, and I would go out at like 5 in the morning at Lake Chabot, and I had a little bell on the end of my rod, and I just take a little nap out there, and all of a sudden I hear ding, 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 ding. I'm like, oh, got a trout, gotta get up real quick. You know, it's like real low impact fishing. But
when we were kids, sometimes we'd go up to Idaho and actually fish in some very little stream. You couldn't even call them streams, they mm-hmm. were creeks,
right.
You know, where you could hop across a log. I mean, a creek
right.
maybe 5-6 feet apart, across, and 6 inches to a foot deep.
So something instinctively is spawning there, and you catch it.
Yeah, and you can. I mean, you can look, and there would be a big boulder, and all of a sudden you've got a pool that's maybe 3 feet deep, and oh, that's where the big ones are. And a big one in these little, I think, fish. It depends on how big the body are. In some of these little creeks, they don't get bigger than 6 or 7 inches.
Right.
They're all trout, you know.
Yeah,
and just delicious as could be. It was not catch and release. It was catch and fry.
Catch and fry, yeah.
I mean, I can still taste it, you know, mm-hmm. the lemon and just that tug of a fish on that line was such a thrill.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the more
and
exciting
kind of a
things.
Panic, like, you know.
Oh, yeah. I remember when I was, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and I worked the Caldor Fire. My partner and I were driving up 50 up in Kybers, which they just opened last week. And we were driving up there when there was no one up there up 50. And, you know, you see I forget which river or
probably
whatever
American
it is.
River.
Or, yeah, something that's up there up 50. Anyway, we're up there, and I'm just like, I would stare at these spots. And she
looked like
and she's like, oh, is there? You see an animal? I'm like, oh no, it's a perfect spot to fish. Yeah, and I remember thinking, like, if they let us come up here again tomorrow, I might bring my pole and like when we go to lunch, just kind of shoot it in there. But never did. But yeah, it's just one of those things. Where it's like the when you see a stream like that, that is just so like pristine and no one around.
I always like the stream fishing better than the lake fishing, because the lake fishing, you're just kind of sitting there. Stream fishing, you're kind of hiking around and looking for this perfect, the perfect spot. And you didn't need more than 5 inches of line.
Oh, yeah.
5 feet
in
line. You know, just stand on a log and drop it in there, you know. And you're probably the first human being a lot of these fish had seen.
Yeah.
Because it was, they were old logging roads going up there. There'd be log trucks occasionally, but there weren't any fishermen up there.
Yeah, they say that bass are actually slightly smart for a fish, where if you catch them, let's say, on a chartreuse-colored lure, they won't typically try to eat something that color again.
Oh, wow.
So if you do catch and release and a bass has been caught on something, that's why a lot of times with my son, I just use worms. Yeah, I use worms a lot with my son.
That's what we always use when we were kids. I even could tell you the road to the little farmhouse where their kids sold worms.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
That was their summer business, was selling worms to the California tourists.
Yeah. And I got to the point for me, like, last couple of years where I would just, you know, go somewhere and, pick up, like, something like a Bass Pro Shop or something, or like, this one couple places around where I live that are, like, gas stations that sell worms. I'd just pick them up because I knew I'd want to go fish the next couple of days.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, there's a spot in Rockland, actually, my son and I were talking about going to the next couple of days. There's a little pond out there in Cops Quarry, and there's a good little fishing spot over there.
Yeah, I remember at this one little town, the gas station had like a Coke machine, and it was Coke, orange, you know, whatever, Orange Crush.
Yeah, Fanta.
Worms. In the same machine.
Oh, yeah.
It's no big deal.
I used to go to Clear Lake every year, go camping, and I'd fish out there, and there was a little spot in Kelseyville. My friend's parents, after a while, we used to go there and go camping, and then his parents loved it so much they retired up there and bought an inn, and actually, so we'd stay in a room at the inn, and you walk from the inn up the hill, and there's a burger spot, and across the street, a general store, and the general store was 3/4 fishing, 1/4, you know, just regular stuff. I mean fishing, I mean, like, ready-made sandwiches, those little white coolers of styrofoam, like anything you'd want if you were unprepared.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so like I would, you know, lose something because Clear Lake's got a lot of reeds and stuff, I would lose stuff every so often. I have to walk back up there at least once in the week we were out there just to get, you know, more worms, more something.
Clear Lake, sort of a misnamed lake.
Very misnamed, late in the summer. Yeah. We would go in June or July, usually early July. We'd see the July 4th thing. By August, it's just a mossy green.
Very green.
Yeah, real. Well, it's because it's our natural hot spring because of the volcano, Mount Conocti.
Right, and it's so shallow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's warm. It's interesting. If you've ever been out there, there's a middle of the lake, there's a natural hot tub.
Oh, is it right in the
middle? Right in the middle, there's a sulfur bed, and the way, I don't know if it's naturally this way or not, but it's like almost like a little grotto, and then there's rocks that come up out of this little island, and they're in like in a pretty circular oval kind of formation, so you can get in there. I mean, because of the fact that it's a grotto, it kind of keeps you in there, so with the sulfur smell, you can only stand there for maybe like 2 minutes, take a picture or something like that, and get out of there, because it's like it makes you want to faint. But yeah, it's a coolest little spot to go. I love Clear Lake. I miss going there.
Fish are just so, it's so biblical.
It is.
It's so Catholic. It's so Christian. There's a reason it's a symbol. I mean, it's throughout the Bible.
And you got to think, too, I mean, just from the evolution of humanity, I mean, before we were using atlatls and all those things to hunt with, fishing was something we could do before all that. So, I mean, it's one of the most ingrained things.
I want to know who's the first person that invented a net. You know, like, hey, we could...
Probably the first guy who lost 5 or 6 off his line as he pulled them up to the water.
Yeah. You know, it's like, what were you doing before? You
right.
Know, oh, yeah, yeah. Barehanding them?
Well, there was a lot of spearfishing back in the day. Yeah. There was. And I wonder if fish have evolved to getting a little smarter, that we have to catch them on lines now.
They go in schools, so they should be teaching them something. Yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations on working that one in. That was good.
Oh, yeah. And you know, you're right. You know, I remember having a striped bass one time. I didn't catch it, but somebody brought it back, you know, some neighbor or something. And it was a really good eating fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was nothing like Lent. And, you know, it's like, you know, we kind of lost the meaning of Lent there for a while when we were kids because we loved fish so much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no meat on Friday. Oh, punish me with crab, cracked crab and shrimp, you know,
right,
you know, but it's I mean, Jesus was a fisher of men, and fishing is, I mean, it's in the human DNA.
Yeah, oh, for sure, absolutely. It's one of those things that, and it doesn't, you know, you watch all these fishing shows and these you know, tutorial videos and things like that, and it makes it so much more complicated than it has to be.
Yeah.
I mean,
I always figured having a bass finder was kind of cheating.
Yeah, I've been on the boat with somebody at a fish finder one time, and it's interesting, but at the same time, it's kind of like, oh, it's 15 feet down. It's like, okay,
fun.
Yeah, I don't know how far down my line is. We'll see. You know, it's like, I don't know. I like boat fishing the same reason I like lake fishing, which is I used to read, but now I like to listen to books on tape or podcasts or something like that. And just kind of sit there and kind of relax, which is hard to do with kids now. So, you know, every time I take my kids fishing, I always joke with my wife. I'm like, I'm going to bring a chair, and I don't know why, because I'm never going to get a chance to sit in it. Every time I'll you know, get my daughter, who's 5, I get her line casted out. My son will cast out his own line. She's kind of getting okay at it, but she'll get it caught on something every time. And then I finally get my line casted out, and I go, okay, here we go. And then my daughter's like, Dad, something's wrong. And okay, I'll get yours. And then my son's like, I have to go to the restroom. I'm like, okay. And it's just like, I remember one time I caught like, and this is not a fishing story, like I caught a giant catfish at Folsom Lake about a year ago. And it was complete dumb luck, as some people would say all fishing is, but it was, I was like, okay, guys, it's getting dark. We're going to leave. And I packed up all their stuff, put all in the little cart. I walked over to grab my line. I'm like, oh, where's my line? Okay, here. And I'm like, oh, I can't see my bobber. Darn it, it must got snagged. I go to reel it in, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I'm like, and this thing was gigantic. I pictured me had to hold it with two hands. Huge catfish. It was just, you know, so I mean, that's, to me, that's always fishing in a nutshell. It's like you don't even realize it's happening, and then it happens, and you catch one, you know? Yes.
Well, we're going to send you on a mission up to Trinity Pine.
I got to talk to Jennifer. Yeah, I got to see if I can get
Jennifer
up there.
Jennifer Campbell's the director.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll plant some fish for you.
I remember my dad, when I was a kid, went to one of those trout farms, and you pay to go in, but they guarantee you're going to catch something. I remember I was so excited that I caught something, and my dad was like, yeah, you better have caught something. I paid for it,
yeah. Very good. Well,
yeah. But speaking of podcasts, if you haven't already, you should be, because you're listening to the show. But if you're listening to the show on the Relevant Network, or you're listening to the show on our website for the Sacramento Catholic Diocese, you can listen to the show and back catalog of the show if you go to Apple Podcasts or Google Plus and download, or not download, but just subscribe to the actual podcast, which will do nothing to you whatsoever. It won't. It means nothing as far as your phone goes. You're not going to get a bunch of spam emails. You're not going to get a bunch of text messages. You're not going to get anything. It's just going to make it so when you open that app up, it'll tell you how many shows have gone live since you last looked at it. So if you listen to a show 3 days ago, and then there's been 3 days of shows, when you open the app, it'll show you all 3 episodes you haven't listened to. That's it. Nothing else on your phone. So it doesn't mean anything as far as you know, nothing else, nothing to sign up for. It's not even, it's less work than a Safeway club card.
And it's free,
100% free. Yep. Yeah. And then you can hear this show, all the back catalog, anything.
You won't be getting solicited for anything.
Other than this that you're listening to right now, there's no solicitation whatsoever, other than me soliciting you right now. So you subscribe to the podcast, and that way you can keep up on all the episodes. And, you know, write a review for it. You can do, I believe they go down to 1 star, but you only need the 5 for our show because, you know, why else would you put anything lower than 5 stars? And you can write a review, or you can just do the 5 stars. And what it does is it helps us get our show out to more people, because the higher rated it is, the better reviews it has. Apple and Google will push it out for people. If you sign up for it, you'll say sometimes, like, what are you interested in? If you put religious podcasts, then we'll show up more often, and then people will know a little bit more about our diocese and things like that.
Yeah,
so, yeah, so just make sure you guys do that if you could, and we really appreciate that.
It's amazing. It's like having a radio station that has a 50 million watt signal or something.
Yeah, it's a worldwide radio station. Yeah,
it's the miracle of modern technology, I'll tell you. That's very quickly, all youth and young adult ministry leaders 18 and over invited to participate in a 7-session online program from October through January that will renew, refresh, and enhance your understanding of comprehensive youth ministry Whether you are starting a new ministry or just improving the one you have, this process will help. Participants will join a diocesan cohort that will journey alongside them as they explore topics that will strengthen the foundation of their ministry. Our diocesan cohort schedules are available. Go to the scd.org. Contact Anthony Taw, T-A, at 916-733-0151 or Alejandro Barraza at 916-733-0134 or go to their email them. Anthony Taw is at ata at scd.org, and Alejandro is at A Barraza, B-A-R-R-A-Z-A, at scd.org. And that's A Barraza. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Denning.
Held high, such small sacrifice.